Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis, and today I'm joined by Pastor Adrian Mills and Dr. Brian Charette. Pastor Adrian is our executive pastor and also our pastor of life groups here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, and Brian is a member of our church and our author in residence, so to speak, our author of a lot of life group curriculums that we've done as studies as the life groups here at Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene. And how are you guys both doing today?
Great.
Doing well, Grayson. I'm glad I'm here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, too. To be in Brian in your presence, Grayson, is quite an honor.
It's quite an honor to be here on Front Porch Talks with Adrian Mills, with executive. He insists every time you refer to him, you have to say the word executive
first. Oh, my goodness. Let's
so
move on.
Executive. So if I'm texting him even, I have to start with executive. What can I do and get advice from him? And if you don't use that word, you just get crickets. But as soon as you type in executive, you see the bubble come up. You know he's responding. So everybody listening should keep that in mind.
Can you mute his mic at some point in this? All right.
Is that like referring to you as doctor?
Yes,
doctor.
I always insist that people...
I can tell.
Yep. You've heard of me. It's doctor.
Okay, let's get started. So... how many curriculums is this, Brian, that you've done for the life groups?
I think, it's interesting. I had a feeling you would ask me that. I think this is the seventh that the Philippians, the one that we're going to talk about today, the one that starts this fall, is the seventh curriculum that I've been involved in. Now, that doesn't mean there have been seven semesters, because I'm not always involved in preparing the curriculum. But for me personally, I believe the Philippians was the seventh one I've been involved in. I love every one of them, and as I've said here before, I consider it a privilege.
Yeah, I think this is our seventh year of life groups, and the first year, I believe, Brian didn't. I know the first semester he didn't, right. But then there's been also some semesters where he's done back-to-back, so that sounds about right.
I think that's right. Not that, I mean, I could check, but it...
Yeah, that's fine. I'll take your word for it. Seven, the perfect number. We'll go with that.
Yep.
So you mentioned that the curriculum this time is Philippians, and so either you or Pastor Adrian, why Philippians? What made us decide that that's the book that we're studying this semester?
Well, yeah, Grayson, it's a great question. As we prayed, and I don't, of course, make these decisions on my own. Pastor Carey and some of the other leaders and I were just talking about the fall and praying into what our vision was, and just felt led that any time that you can have, I don't know, there'll be about 550 to 600 people represented in life groups, probably more if you count our middle school and high school students that will be going through the same curriculum with us this fall. And there's just power in unity. There's power in studying the same thing together. And we even felt led that this semester there would be power in just studying literally the same passage of Scripture, be on the same page, literally, throughout the whole fall. And so in praying about that, there's a lot of different books we could do. I would love to tell a story about, you know, I was driving down the road and the Lord spelled out Philippians in the clouds, but that's not really true. It really is a book that's meant a lot to me growing up.
Amen.
And quite honestly, it's difficult for me. We're going to be doing a preaching series that will tie along to this. And it's really difficult for me to pick out specific passages because there's so much of it that it's just rich to me.
Yep.
And so once we talked and talked about the idea of Philippians, it wasn't hard to convince me that I thought that would be an excellent place for us to camp out for 8 weeks during our life group semester.
My role is, that's how it usually works. We've done, in the past, we've done a number of options. We've had particular books. For instance, we've done 1 John as a life group study. We've done Malachi as a life group study. Then we've done thematics. We did... remember the series on the problematic proverbs, the proverbs that are most controversial? We've done one we called relationshiping. And so Adrian and Pastor Carey get together and really seek the Lord for what he wants for that particular semester. And then they essentially dictate to me what the topic is and sort of why it became a topic. And then my job is to sort of form that into 8 lessons. And, you know, Philippians is not a very long book, but it's only 4 chapters, but I could have easily done 20 lessons. It's that kind of, the tough part was deciding what the 8 most important ideas the Lord has in mind for right now for our church, And that's what ended up being the 8-week session that we're about to start.
So following up on that, Brian, what are the 8 ideas that you ended up choosing as the 8 different sessions for the life groups from Philippians?
Well, I always start by just reading and listening to the book. I read the book numbers of times, especially if it's only 4 chapters. Even I can read 4 chapters relatively quickly. And then I listen to it. A lot of times when I'm exercising, I listen to the Bible. And I listen to it over and over, and I try to pick up themes. And then from there, I try to break down the themes into lessons. So the name of this study is Joy in the Fight. Because really, what stands out to me about Philippians is this notion of no matter what you're going through, you can have joy. And it's powerful because it's true, but it's also powerful because you have to wrestle with it, because it doesn't make sense to us. We're not used to being joyful and suffer at the same time, and so we don't know how that works. So that's the overarching theme, joy in the fight. What exactly does Paul have to say that helps me have joy no matter what level of suffering? And so I'll just walk you through the lessons quickly. Session 1 is called Joy Despite It All, and that's really the theme of Philippians. Session 2 is Unite for the Fight. Paul was very interested in the people of Philippi being together, being one. The third is what's called the Grow in Although, and I know that's a weird title. It's from Philippians 2, where Paul says, you know, Jesus deserved total glory. He deserved his rightly place on the throne. But although he deserved that, he laid down his life and became a servant for all. And so that lesson is about, despite what we think we deserve, although we think we deserve certain things, the call is for us to lay down our lives. Session 4 is called Beware of Dog. It's the only place in the Bible where you get that warning, beware of dogs, and I won't say much about that, but it's about what Paul means by that. Session 5 is Don't Look Back. I put things behind me. That's another thing we struggle with. We keep wanting to rehash our past, especially our hard past, over and over again, but one of the things Paul says is, look, if you're going to run the race, you can't be mired in what's gone before you. You have to release what's gone before. Session 6 is called Joy Again, because it's, again, that theme repeats in Philippi, this notion of Philippians. Session 7 is The Thoughts That Count. If you ask me which one was most meaningful for me, it was Session 7. And I think it lit up in me the idea of the importance of our thoughts and exactly what our role is in our own thought. I won't say more about that because I want someone else to talk. But Session 8, the last session, is called The Secret of Life. And it's just that. It's if you were cornering the Apostle Paul and he said, okay, boil this all down. What's the secret? Session 8 addresses that.
Pastor Adrian, I know that you were part of the planning. Brian mentioned you and Dad and him as far as deciding on Philippians and so what are you maybe most looking forward to on the study of Philippians after going through maybe reading Brian's study in the different sessions?
Yeah, I mean, big picture, what I'm most excited for is people getting deeper in love with the Word of God. I think we can't overestimate what the Word of God can do in our lives when we really take time. And that's why I like that Philippians is 4 chapters. We can't get too overwhelmed with it. I mean, it's not too much.
Yep.
We really can take time throughout the semester to really, and I'm finding that Philippians is a book I've read so many times. And like Brian, I do listen to it sometimes when I'm walking my dog or reading through it in different translations. We're using primarily the God's Word translation, which is a little different translation than I had studied Philippians a lot in the past. And so I'm amazed that there's always more truth. There's always more. I'm not a biblical expert by any means, but somebody who's feel like I've read Philippians a lot, and there's always new stuff for me. The biggest takeaway for me, though, and it's probably you come to this realization in the first chapter, so spoiler alert, is that joy is a choice. It is a choice. I think
that's critical.
We sometimes believe that joy is certain people. I think of my grandparents. I tell the story in one of the teaching videos, but my grandparents had incredible joy in their life, and I think I just believe they were just spiritually elite, or that they just had this gift that the rest of us don't have, and that's they just had the joy gift, and some people have it, and then some people don't. And do I believe that some people are better at finding joy in their circumstances? I do. But biblically, as you read through Philippians, you realize that this is not about a temperament. It's not about circumstances. It's not about my strengths and my giftings, although I know those things help. It really is a choice. That helped me. It really helped me, not just because I was excited about people learning that. It helped me for my own life to realize that in everyday things where I'm anxious, you know, I can choose joy in that. I can choose that. And that's really continuing, even as I'm sharing it now, continuing to help me and work on my heart.
To me, that's why what I said earlier, what stood out to me was this whole idea about thought, about the mind. I had not seen it as clearly before. But if someone said to me, that's so important. I know the three of us have suffered in life. I know your stories. I know people listening to this have suffering in their life. And if someone said to me, well, so how is that? How do you do that? How do you make the choice to be joyful no matter what pain you're going through? And for me, if a light went on when I was working on the curriculum, it was in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, keep your thoughts on whatever is right or deserves praise, things that are true, honorable, fair, pure, acceptable, or commendable. Practice what you've learned and received from me, what you heard and saw me do. Then the God who gives this peace, and this peace in Philippians is an unusual peace, a peace that goes beyond our understanding, a peace that we don't think is possible, if we're honest. And I think the key for that is, what are you thinking about? And I think sometimes we think our thoughts just happen to us, and we have to think whatever thoughts come into our mind. We have to, if fear comes into our mind, because it's there, we have to be afraid. And so I think that's why that was fascinating for me. In fact, we're going to be preaching some on Philippians during the fall at church, and one of the ones, I actually have the concluding message, and I know I'm going to be talking about what we think about and why that's so important.
Well, and the cool thing about Philippians, you both mentioned that it's only four chapters, so we can kind of dig deep.
Yep.
Now, you, like you said, probably could dig deeper and even more so, but we'll still get a chance to spend some time in the verses and read in the Word and, you know, gain in what other people's perspective from the Scripture, because I'm sure different people can read it and get different things stick out just depending on where you're at in your life and what you're going through. And I know one of my life verses comes from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And there's the one you read was good also about having our mind on what is pure and good. And so I'm really looking forward to it. Is there anything else either one of you would like to say about Philippians before we go on talking about the life group, how maybe the sessions will look a little, or the studies, the format will look a little differently this semester?
Let me ask Pastor Adrian a question, and then he can lead into that. What about Philippians? I mean, you have a pretty good finger on the pulse of at least this church, but you go places and you speak, and I feel like you have a sensitive heart to the believer in the world right now. What do you hope our folks take specifically from Philippians that makes it timely? What is it about our age, our culture, our demographics that makes Philippians a good study for us in this moment?
Yeah, I'll answer that with a couple things. You were talking a minute ago, Brian, about this importance of our mind. And I know this isn't the passage you are referring to, and this is not one of the more well-known passages in Philippians. But one of the things we did in preparation for this curriculum and for the teaching series that we're going to be doing is we sat together and just read through the book of Philippians out loud again.
Yeah.
And a passage that stuck out to me that I don't think I had really heard or resonated with before, and this is spoiler alert number however many hundred, because I'll be sharing about this on a Sunday morning, but it's in chapter 3. So this is before the passage,
right,
where Brian's talking about, you know, the importance of our mind and think on such things, which is so good. But Paul's writing, and he's writing, again, from prison. I'll come back to that in a minute. But he's talking about people need, you know, encouraging them to imitate me and imitate Christ. But then he talks about these kind of people, and it says this, and I'm in chapter 3, I'm in verse 19. He says, their own emotions are their God, and they take pride in the shameful things they do. Their minds are set on worldly things. And that may seem like a really odd verse to kind of choose as the crux of what Philippians is about, but when we're talking about joy, and we're talking about the importance of our mind and thinking on such things, and you asked me about the culture that we live in today, and what we live in a culture today that their emotions are their God.
Good point.
And you even said that earlier, that we think something, and then we never even occurs to us that, I feel afraid. I'm going to be afraid. Whatever the emotion is.
Yeah.
We talk about rights in this curriculum. It's really interesting. In Philippians 2, he talks about Jesus had all, you know, these rights that he gave up to become nothing. But we are so obsessed with our rights in this country, and I'm grateful for the rights I have. Yeah. I know there's a world around us that doesn't have the rights and the freedoms we have, but we're so obsessed with that that we just think we have the right to certain things, and one of them is we just think we have the right to be happy or to act upon whatever emotion that we're feeling. And so we have a whole culture, really a whole generation now, that is growing up with the fruit of their parents who just maybe made these decisions based on emotions and not upon really thinking. Maybe they were decisions made based out of fear or anxiety. And so as I resonate with that, I think, we live in a culture that is so obsessed with our emotions and our feelings. And that, of course, joy is hard too, because joy can be about comparing. Well, I don't have as much as they have, or my circumstances aren't as... And so I say all that to say, you know, saturating in this book and realizing that the person writing this book is writing from prison.
Mm-hmm.
He's chained to palace guards all the time, and he will die. We know the end of the story. Yeah. So there's no Disney movie spectacular ending coming here for him.
Right.
Now we know, you know, he's with Jesus now, so we don't feel sorry for him. But we know that that's a hard reality for us. And so I think some of us that convince ourselves that our situation is so hard, that our suffering is, and I'm not trying to belittle that, but I just think when you're reading this, and I constantly, as I'm reading it, have to remind myself, wait, he's in prison. Wait, he's going to die.
Right.
Wait, there's no happy ending, you know, from a worldly perspective here. It really challenged me. And I think everybody can find their place in that. Everybody can find their place where they feel like they're in that prison. They feel like they're in that place where they could be tempted to feel like, where is God in this? And so I find a lot of meaning. Does that make sense, Brian?
Yeah,
does that answer your question?
Yep. Very true.
Yeah.
And when you guys have been talking about joy and how that's a theme of Philippians, I think of something that me and Dad have talked about often on different programs that we've done on the radio, about how just because you're joyful, that doesn't mean you're happy. Happy and joy aren't the same thing.
I agree.
Joy is being joyful no matter what your circumstances are, good or bad, happy or not happy. Joy is what comes from the Lord. And I'm sure that in Philippians, like you mentioned, Paul is in prison. He's going to die, but he's still joyful in the Lord and trusts the Lord's plan for him and gives praise to God regardless of his circumstances.
I think that's why Paul also, it's important to Paul to talk about peace, this idea of this peace that goes beyond what we understand. I think what Paul would say is, happy is a superficial, fleeting emotion. Joy is a sense of peace, sort of settled peace, no matter what your circumstances. So, yeah, joy, you can be, you know, laughing and dancing, but joy is not happiness in the sense that we think, you know, happiness is a feeling. It's an emotion. It's short-lived, usually. It comes and goes. Joy is this deep-seated peace, and that peace births a sense of joy in you, no matter what your circumstances. And, I mean, I'll just say it again. I know that it's counterintuitive. I know that we as humans walking around on the earth really struggle with the idea that no matter what you're going through, you know, and I don't, the people listening to this, I'm sure there's deep pain and suffering. And I think of a family locally that lost a 23-year-old or 24-year-old son in a car accident recently. But Paul says, I feel that, I hear that. Nobody knows suffering like I do, but trust me, because Jesus is trustworthy, you can have joy. And I think that's the sort of the sparkle in the book of Philippians.
And I think that's irresistible. I don't know, Brian, what your answer would be, or Grayson, but the curriculum kind of asks you to think about, or at least I just internalized it, to think about somebody that has real joy.
Yeah.
And when I think about those people in my life, those are the people I want to be around. I mean, those are the people, some of them aren't with us anymore. But if it was the question, who would you want to spend a day with? You know, it would be those people.
Yep.
Because it didn't matter what they had. It meant, you know, driving with my grandfather to the dump was more enjoyable than spending, you know, vacationing with some people. Not my family, of course, but yeah. Other. But it's just, he had joy. And it's irresistible to be around. And I think when we as believers have that real joy, not manufactured, not fake, when we have that, I think it's irresistible to the world around us.
I really hope that comes through. I mean, I really hope these life group sessions are really tender and intimate, and I really hope people will engage, because I think the Lord wants to do something in the, not because we plan something and we have a curriculum. I think he wants to do something because he wants to get the truth from Philippians into people's hearts. This is just a vehicle to do it, but I really hope that, you know, that as you're preparing to be in a life group, and I hope you are, that you're coming ready, that you pray, Lord, open my ears and open my heart and do a work in me this semester through life group. I hope that's how people are approaching it.
That's a good point both of you have made, and looking forward to going through the life group curriculum and doing the life group study. Now, one thing I will miss this semester is being in life group with both of you.
Yeah.
I think I can speak for the rest of the life group. We will miss Pastor Adrian and Warren as our life group leaders.
Yeah, we'll miss being there.
Yes.
We'll definitely, I know we'll find other life groups to be a part of, but we'll miss fellowshipping with both of you in life group.
Adrian and Lauren are wonderful leaders.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Now, going on to talking a little bit more about the format of what the life groups will look like as far as a life group session or a life group night will look like. Either of you, maybe Pastor Adrian, if you want to start talking about the little bit of a difference this semester as opposed to previous semesters.
Yeah, part of the vision for life groups isn't just deciding what we're going to teach about, but really trying to cast vision for the future of life groups. And part of my vision and my goal for life groups is I want life group leadership to be easier and easier. Now, I want to preface that to say we have an incredible group of life group leaders.
Yeah, that's for sure.
They're more than capable. They would, you know, walk through a wall if the Lord asked them to, and I asked them to in that order probably, but they can do anything. So it's not my lack of belief in them, but part of, I think, for the future growth of life groups is that we continue to recruit new leaders. And a lot of people are scared of leadership, and I understand that. It's not an easy thing. So what I wanted to do is to find creative ways to study the Word together, but to continue to take some of that load off our life group leaders, and I'll explain what I mean by that. We developed the curriculum this year, and we've always had video kind of segments involved with the curriculum, but this year I felt really compelled to try something different. And so for each of the 8 sessions, we developed a 12, 15-minute video, and it's a teaching video. Brian and I do some of the teaching. Pastor Carey does some of the teaching. And the idea is that for a life group leader, you might have some icebreaker or opening questions to kind of welcome the group, some food and fellowship, but then you pop in the DVD, you hit play, and you get to hear teaching. You know, Brian teaches, and he wrote the curriculum. It's really valuable to hear. And, of course, Pastor Carey, he could teach on anything, and it would be interesting and engaging, you know. And so getting to hear some of that teaching. And then as the group, your job is really to just discuss what you've heard. and there'll be some other questions and things for leaders to use. But I'm excited. We've used this format in our life group with some other curriculum at other times, and I always think it's a different angle and a different approach. It helps the leader not feel like, I got to do everything here. And they start to realize it's really just about discussion. It's about leading a discussion and responding to what we've heard. And so with that, I've been a part of the filming and editing of the videos, so I've been a little bit more involved in the curriculum than in the past. But it also, it really has me excited about, I think for some of our life groups, there'll be a really different, maybe even a fresh approach and discussion. There'll be some leaders that walk into the room feeling like, I don't have to get everybody saved tonight. I can just lead discussion and be a part of the group. And I think really looking forward to how this new approach really gives new life to our groups. And Brian, you can explain a little bit more of the format and how each lesson is kind of broken down specifically.
Well, the idea is to try to make it so that the leader doesn't have to focus on preparing a lesson or doesn't have to scramble and spend a lot of time doing it. So the leader can focus on the people, can focus on, you know, sort of guiding the meeting, listening to the people, praying for folks, developing leaders. So the way it generally will work, the curriculum suggests a sort of step process where you start, you know, with your normal thing. You maybe have refreshments or snack or something. Then the curriculum starts with a section called Life Group Stories. And the leader may ask one or two questions to get folks to share stories from their life that relate to the topic that's being covered. For instance, the session that I teach, session 4, and I mentioned it earlier, is called Beware of Dog. That word and imagery, dog, means something to some people and other things to other people, and what's important is understanding why Paul was using it. So in the opening, one of the questions is, think about your dog story. Do you, you know, what's your conception of what a dog is and what that means? And so it starts with that, where people just can share stories. They don't have to, but there's an open invitation to sort of start the focus of the discussion getting to the topic. And then in part 2, they pop in the DVD and the teaching, as Pastor Adrian says, 12 to 15 minutes. It really unpacks that particular section of Philippians for that meeting. The teaching kind of introduces the topic, unpacks it a little bit, and sort of tries to get at what some of the meaning is. And then when the DVD ends, the leader will have a series of discussion questions. And there are 6, 7, 8 discussion questions for every session. So the leader then can take it where he thinks the Lord is moving for his particular group. But the idea is to talk about what they just saw, to not just sit there and watch and sort of drink in teaching. But the beauty of life group then is you can interact with it. You can say, well, you know, this struck me as he said this. And the discussion questions are aimed at getting you to think more deeply about the content and to think about how it applies to your life. So that's the basic outline, and that's a little different, a little bit more structured, but for a purpose, to try to make it easier on the life group leaders. So we start with people talking about their stories, then the DVD and unpacking the session. And then really, I don't want to say any is more important than the other, but that discussion time to me is the really important time in the meeting, because that's when you can share with each other, ask each other questions, ask questions about what you've just heard. In other words, dig more deeply as a family, as a life group, into what the Lord has just presented you.
And you probably mentioned this, but obviously closing in a time of prayer and maybe praying about different things that the life group spoke or the session spoke to you about, or what the lesson or the scripture spoke to you about, or things like that.
I hope this is a very applied approach. In other words, I hope the discussion part is really about, what do I do now? What does the Lord want me to do because of what I've just heard? And critical to that is going before him. And so I hope that every meeting concludes with an application-related prayer for each and every person who wants prayer in the group, that the Lord would blossom the seeds that were planted that night, that the Holy Spirit would speak clearly to each person every moment when that person is to apply the teaching. So I wouldn't want the meeting to end. I wouldn't want the teaching to end or the session to end without going before the Lord. And not just praying for specific needs, not just praying for healing, that's important, not just praying for family members who need prayer, that's important, but praying for the application of the word from that teaching, that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, would seat that in each person in the group.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it and the work that you've put into it, each of you and Dad put into it. And anything else you guys would like to say before I'll have Pastor Adrian close and pray him for life group leaders and the life group study and the different life groups?
No, I'm grateful to Brian for taking a bunch of ideas and thoughts and putting them down and making them beautiful. And it's been an exciting process to be a part of, for sure. And excited to see, you know, it's great to make plans and to film videos, but none of that matters if the Spirit doesn't really move. And so now I'm praying is that God will take, and that Brian would be the first one to admit that our stuff is just, it's just stuff, you know.
Yep.
It's doing our best. We believe the Lord's in it. But we pray now the Spirit would take what we have to offer, kind of like the loaves and fish, and multiply it.
Amen.
And use it for his glory.
Thank you both for joining me today, Pastor Adrian and Brian. Pastor Adrian, would you mind just closing our time just praying for life group leaders and for the different life groups, people that will be in life groups, and whatever else is on your heart?
Yeah, definitely. Father, we thank you for the gift of community.
Yes.
That you don't call us to do life alone.
Thank you, Lord.
Certainly you give us your Spirit, but also you invite us into relationship with other believers.
Yes, Lord.
And I don't ever want to take that for granted. I think we forget often, Lord, that there are people all around the world that have to go to great lengths to have any sort of community.
Yes, it's true.
And so I'm just grateful for that, and I don't want to take community and relationships for granted.
Amen.
I pray right now for everyone listening to this program, whether they're in a life group yet or not, I pray that they would know true joy today.
Amen.
It's found in you. I pray that they would know a true hunger for your word.
Yes.
Because your word brings freedom. And so I'm just excited, Lord, not for a ministry, but for people coming to contact with your word.
Yes.
And dialoguing together, journeying together, wrestling together on how to have joy in the fight. That's what we're calling this series. And I'm excited, Lord, to see that joy does come with a little bit of fight. And some of us don't like pain, and we certainly don't like hard work sometimes. And so this whole thing about having to fight for joy, having to fight along this journey, is not one that we always embrace. But I pray that we would realize it's worth it.
Yes.
And so I pray for leaders. We thank you, Lord, for the 35 different life groups that will be launched.
Amen.
And the 7 or 8 different middle school and high school groups that will be launched this fall. We believe, Lord, that you're going to be in all that. We thank you for the leaders and are praying now that you would bless them and help what they do, Lord, to matter for eternity.
Amen.
We love you and we thank you.
Yes.
In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you both for joining me to talk about the fall life group curriculum, Joy in the Fight, and I look forward to studying it and studying the book of Philippians. Thank you both, and thank you for listening to Front Porch Talks. May God bless.